There is a hadith in Tirmidhi, and one part of that hadith, the noble prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states in this hadith that love me, have love for me. This is a message that has been given to the whole ummah, to all of the believers, that love me, have love for me. And then the reason is explained. If you love me for this reason, you should love me because Allah Ta'ala loves me. Subhanallah, what a beautiful hadith, mashaAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated in this hadith, love me for Allah Ta'ala loves me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran that, oh my beloved Habib, that he loves me, and I announce, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah Ta'ala has stated that if you obey and adhere to the ways of my Nabi, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, then I will make you my beloved, Allah Ta'ala says. So I think, rather it is reality and a fact. It is total haqq, truth and reality, that to reach Allah Ta'ala there's only one path and one way and method, and all of the other ways are secondary. Remember this. All of the paths and the ways that ibadat, they are all the paths to Allah. Sitting in dhikr, this is also the path to Allah. Reciting Quran is also the path to Allah. Any activity of the deen of Islam is the path of Allah, and it reaches to Allah, and every good deed takes a person to Allah. But all of these paths, all of them, they are all secondary. They are not the principal path or the principal method. And the principal methodology is adhering and obeying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have loved you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are yours. This is how we should assign ourselves to his ways and his lifestyle. And Allama Iqbal mentioned a couplet that success comes when there is obedience and imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And without imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without obeying him, it is all deception and drama, and nothing will be attained. You know, our elders, they state that you've got the passport, but without the visa, you cannot enter into that country. Can you enter without the visa? No, they won't even let you come near to the barrier. You have a nice passport. Yeah, take the whichever country of the world, you have a passport for that country and you want to go Hajj or to do Umrah, and you've got the passport in your pocket. The first thing they will look at, what? They will look at your passport, do you think? No, they turn the pages. That, does he have the visa? Is the stamp in there for entry? If that stamp is there, he can enter. If there's no stamp, he cannot enter. So my brothers, the entrance into paradise, how can we enter into paradise without the visa? We have the passport, La ilaha illallah. We have this passport, isn't it? It's a beautiful passport that has been issued to us with the fadl of Allah. When we were born, when we were in the young age, childhood, when we were babies, the adhan was called into our ears, and alhamdulillah, we attained the passport there and then. The passport, iman. But to go into paradise, what do we need? We need the visa. And what is the visa? Adherence and obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think carefully now. Quran is haq, Quran is truth, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are truth. And if we pass our life without his way and lifestyle, doesn't matter how much ibadah you do, doesn't matter how much worship you do, it doesn't matter whatever obedience or worship etc. you think you have, and you consider yourself as pious, and you have reached the heights, doesn't matter which path you go down, which worship acts you commit, but success will only come through obedience to and imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And shaitan's biggest path is that he makes a person busy and occupied in worship deeds. He makes him work hard, but he doesn't let him come towards the obedience to and adherence to the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have to understand here that Quran, one verse of the Quran is enough. And one statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is enough. And how clear a statement in this hadith. Love me, for Allah ta'ala loves me. Without my love, we cannot succeed. You cannot succeed. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this? Because he knew that my ummah, they will become idle, bone idle. They won't get nothing. They'll have nothing to the name. And fitnas will come. Trials will come. Problems will come. And weird paths of deen and religion will be created. Why is it that everybody is standing with his standard today? And with his method today, with his exclamation today, this is the way. But wahid, there's only one method that will take us to Allah Ta'ala and to success, and that is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, if you have my sunnah, and if you can see that every worship act, there's the dalil from the sunnah, then have no worry. Doesn't matter what the world says, doesn't matter how many things you have to your name, how much practice you are doing, whatever it is, but what will happen? That if you don't have the adherence and the obedience of Rasulullah's ways, then everything is a failure. So we have to understand the criterion for success. Is my dhikr correct or not? Is this worship deed of mine correct or not? Everyone, am I following these people? Is he right or wrong? I'm listening to somebody's statements. Is he right or is he wrong? I'm going with this person. Shall I go with this person or not? We don't know today, do we? Oh, no. He's mashallah. He's this. And we see that the person, we think he's practicing, he's got karamat or miracles or kashf or visions. This is all delusion. Everything is fake. There's only one criterion for success. Even if you see nothing in a person special, but if he is obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and imitating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is successful and he is the guide. For example, us doing business, running our home affairs, and looking after the wife and the children, working and running our business and living our lives, all of the protection and hifazat and izzat and respect and character and upstanding and honor, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala says that all of your respect is within this, all of your character and humility is within this. All of your barakat will come through this and blessings. If you don't have this obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and adherence and imitation to him, then you are like an empty box. You will have nothing to your deeds. And the person who doesn't understand this, doesn't want to work on this path, doesn't want to implement this path, and doesn't want to overcome his desires and align his affairs correct in accordance with the sunnah, then that person is in the darkness. Your salah will be thrown to the side, your ibadat will be thrown to the side, your fasting will be thrown to the side. I can't understand that from morning till evening we stay hungry, 14 hours, 20 hours we're fasting, we don't eat anything, we pray taraweeh in the night, we do actions. So what is this? Is this worship? How can this be that it won't be accepted? Shaitan tells us. Shaitan says, oh, you're fine. Don't worry about following the way, the path. No, Allah is merciful. He's Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim. And look, you've fasted 14 hours, 16 hours. You've not eaten nothing. You've not drank anything. You've gone on Hajj. You struggled for days. You struggled. You sweated. You did Umrah. You're reciting Quran 5 juz every day. Look how much obedience and worship you're doing. Allah Ta'ala has given us guidance. Don't do anything but just love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's it. The visa stamp is in your passport. Put the visa in the passport. 5 times salah, farad. Compulsory. And in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you follow his lifestyle, you don't need anything else. You don't need to work hard on anything else. After that, the more sugar you put, and the more sweet will be the tea. The tea. So, the tea is made though. That's the most important thing. Then you have a nice tea, sweet to taste and drink. فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala says, your jannah will be made. Allah guarantees, in the world you'll be full of respect, and in the hereafter you will attain respect. And what is it? What is it of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Every practice of his, everything of his lifestyle was beautiful, delightful, excellent. What was it that wasn't excellent? If we go to ittiba, adherence and imitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you'll bring such a beautiful sunnah lifestyle around you that you can imagine the barakat of this. That if you are imitating and obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will have no issues. I remember an event that Hazrat Abdullah bin Tariq narrates this hadith. That I had not come into Islam, I did not know about Islam, and he said that there was a tribe, a group of people at that time, and he said, while we got close to Medina on the outskirts, and we were like within a valley between the mountains, and we went and took some refuge, we liked it. It was nice green pastures. You know where people see a bit of greenery, a bit of water source, and the animals that are with them, they can graze and in the fields. So they said, we stopped there to rest and to eat and to relax. And he said, we didn't know anything about Deen, Islam. We were just on our journey, our caravan. He said, we put our tents up, ready to rest and relax. And we sat down and we set ourselves. We let the camels graze on the grass. He said, what did we see? A beautiful individual entered into our caravan amongst our tribe. We didn't know who he was. Wallahi, who is this person? We thought. Nobody knew him. And everyone started to look at him. And our head of our tribe was looking at him as well. And he said that, I want to speak to you. Can I discuss with you? And I said, yes, please explain. What is he going to say? He said, whose camels are these? And we replied, ours. And then he said, that whose is this red camel? And he said, ours. He said, I said, ours. Do you want to sell it? Was the question from the person who came. And he said that we had no intention to sell it. We didn't need to sell it. We didn't require to sell it. We didn't have a need. But if we didn't want to sell it, we still sold it. Rather, we weren't going to sell it. So look, if you have something in life, a person, he speaks to you, or your idol, or somebody who you desire and like, and if he asks something from you, or asks a request, then sometimes in your life, you don't want to do that, or give something, but because that person said it, you do it. And after you think, I didn't even want to give this item, or do this action, but due to the personality and character of that person, he overwhelmed me. His character overwhelmed me. His request overwhelmed me that I could not refuse. Like, can I have your watch? Yeah, yeah, take your watch. He's taken the watch. But I gave my watch. Huh? How did I do that? But his personality was strong. It was attractive. And so what happens? You don't think. You don't even think. And within a second, you fulfill the request. He said, so in amongst the Arabs, the red camel is a status, a rank. And the person asked that, do you want to sell? And he said, yes, and I said, yes, I'll sell. And then they agreed on the price. Subhanallah. So when the transaction ended, then he said that I didn't come here to buy your camel. I was just walking past, but I liked this camel. I don't have money. So on the way back, I'll send the money to you here. He said, okay, fine. Look, everything's been agreed. He said, fine. So subhanallah, what did these people know? The tribe, what's happening? Who is this? So the person who came took the camel. He said that while he was going away with the camel, we all were a bit amazed and shocked looking at him. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, we were all amazed and surprised. And that when he did not pass away so far away from our eyesight, we were not amongst our consciousness. He said, we weren't conscious at that time. We weren't within ourselves. Then one person came and said, the camel? Where's the camel? He said, oh, that was a strange story with our camel. He said that maybe it was the Sardar, the head of the tribe, who asked. He said that somebody just came now, a certain individual, and we gave the camel to him. He said, what was the transaction? How much money? Show me the money. He said, the sale just happened like that verbally. He said, I'll give the money on the way back. Money he'll give on the way back? Huh? What kind of sale is this? What transaction is this that you've just fulfilled? How can you agree this? In other words, do you know that person? He said, no, we never saw him before. We didn't know him then. How did you do this deal? How did you do this? So you've given this camel on a loan? Or does your mind accept that a stranger, you've never met him before, can you just give your camel boy? Does anybody give this? That you keep something as a guarantee or an item in trust? Or okay, I will deliver the camel to you if you give the money. Or you keep something as a security, but you've not done anything. There's no one to bear witness to the transaction. No one's witnessed it. No one can back you up. So how did you give the camel away? Oh, so he said, oh, what can I say to you? If only you saw that individual, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that man. Everyone say, he said, if only you had seen that man, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said that his words were so sweet that when he spoke, it was so sweet and so much fragrance coming from his mouth, like the flowers were being distributed around him. Oh, he heard so carefully, the person. Then he said, brother, when he was speaking and smiling, then his smiling, wallahi, he said that I saw that the sparkle of his smile was on the mountains, on the rocks. Aha, what great miracle of Rasulullah. He said, is he? He was that good? He's shocked. He said, then the third point, he said, brother, his beauty was so good. He was so handsome. He was so handsome and beautiful. His hair was so beautiful that I was lost in the beauty of his hair. You know, it's mashallah in the shairi. He said, I was lost in the beauty of his locks, of his hair. I couldn't bring myself together. That what's happening to me? Or what happened to me? He said, oh, he said that now you're asking me, ask me, and I tell you that his eyes were so beautiful and attractive that when he looked with the modesty, it looked like his eyes were the rays of the night, the moon on the 14th night. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. He said, how can this be? I don't know which person you've seen. What story told me? Astaghfirullah. He said, it must have been somebody who just betrayed you or played games with you and now he's taking your camel. You're not going to get nothing. When he said these words and stopped, Allahu Akbar, then the head of the tribe, his wife, she was listening into everything from the tent. She moved the veil back from the tent, said, shrieked out, how dare anybody speak about that individual like this? Close your mouths. Close your mouths. I'm listening and I don't want you to speak like this. And if you got too much pain, then I am the one who guarantees if he doesn't pay, then I will pay for that camel. SubhanAllah. Then they said, huh? How do you know him? She said, I don't know him. Allahu Akbar. She said, I don't even know him. So what a guarantee you're giving for him. You don't even know him. That you will pay the money for the camel and you are guaranteeing and giving the security. She said, oh foolish people. Look at his face. Did you not see the nur, the light? Did you not hear his words? Did you not have the effect of his words? He was such a personality that the person who doesn't believe in him, he's a foolish mad person. It's amazing that his words, if you don't have yaqeen and certainty, then he's got no aqal, no wisdom, no understanding. Now listen to this hadith. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that love me. Love me. He was such a personality, subhanAllah, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not need to ask. His name was so beautiful that it gives coolness to the heart. I swear by Allah, how can that person be a mu'min that he says, oh, here's the name Muhammad, and he doesn't attain coolness in his heart. He doesn't feel good. His issues don't go far away just by the name Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How azeem his heart becomes. It opens up, it cleans, it purifies. So the woman said, I will be the guarantor. I will give the security. Don't you understand that person who came to us, what he is? So then they were silent, the men, that this is the wife of the head of the tribe, I'll give the guarantee, she said. Then they stopped talking. Then they saw from far away the dust in the sand. And the Prophet ﷺ's servant was coming. And he had sacks full of dates. He came. And they said, who are these people who've come? And they said that person who just came away from you recently and who took the camel, he is our Prophet, he is our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the transaction you did, these are the dates for you, one sack for you, for the camel. And these dates, this is a gift for you. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. That's it. That was all to it. The whole tribe stood up and went to the feet of Rasulullah in Medina and said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. SubhanAllah. So this was the personality, powerful character. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhlaq, conduct, manners, personality. That's why I said in the Quran, fattabi'uni. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, if you want my love, then fattabi'uni. Follow and obey and imitate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then I will love you, Allah says, and our life will become easy, smooth, beautiful. Look, this is a factory. This is a factory. This life we're living. Yeah. Let's take a factory. There's no principle if the worker's coming or not coming. The machines are switched on, sometimes off. Sometimes the stock's coming, material's coming. Sometimes manufacturing's taking place. There's no usul. No principle. Sometimes there's lunch break, tea break, no break. People are working, sometimes not working. And there's another factory. There are systems, timekeeping, start time, end time, manufacturing on time, right first time, principles, ways, regulations. What will be the difference in the output of those two? That second factory will give profit, it will cover its losses, and the people who work in the factory, they will have easy life, and they will have earnings, and income, and careers. But the first factory will be totally full of dissatisfaction. That's the thing that Rasulullah said, love me, then you'll have a nice life, organized life, efficient life, smooth life, no problems, no hurdles. Doesn't matter, you will have a connection and communication with people of the world, tribes of the world. Doesn't matter where you go and live. If you live in accordance with my principles, then you will have respect wherever you go. Every nation and tribe and people will love you, will respect you, will hold you in high esteem, will give their hearts to you, because these are my asool, said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is proven. All of the people who did not have belief, who weren't believers, who didn't know who was Allah, who was the Rasul of Allah, had no knowledge, but they saw one asool, principle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life, and they became mad in love with him. And how losers we are today. How unfortunate we are today. How destroyed we are today. What will be our situation on Qiyamah Day? We have Quran in our hands. We have the guidance. We have Surah Yasin, Taha. We have such verses of the Quran. They will be in front of our faces. We will be the ones saying we believed in them. We said we believed in them and followed them and remembered them in our hearts. And we recited them in Taraweeh. And we are that nation with our children and our women folk, our homes, our families, our relatives, everywhere, is there any obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is there any asool of his life within our lives? We say Muhammad Rasulullah, we don't have in our homes or outside or eating or sitting or working or talking or walking. Nowhere in our lives, in our tijarat, in our business, there's no sunnah. There's just loss, taking from him a bit, taking away from him a bit. And we have no practice. We take from here or there, we have no principle of our own, our system of our own, a methodology of our own. We're just passing the time. We're just killing the time, wasting the time. We just keep looking at the watch. Is today gone? Oh, 2 hours left. Okay, day's gone now. What should we do tomorrow? We're just wasting sleeping, getting up when? Sleeping when? No sukina in life. No peace in life. No methodology in life. No framework in life. No love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one who's protecting us. No one to save us. Rather, what should be the situation? Allah Ta'ala said and says that you are the ummah of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but even then you are far from me, you are distant from me. Imagine this, for one reason, because we've discarded the sunnah, we've rejected the sunnah. Alhamdulillah, if today the ummah wakes up, if we with an honest heart, alhamdulillah, start to trust and practice on these points, yes, on going to the masjid, on reading the Quran, on our umrahs, on our hajj, on our transactions, on every second of our life, if we do it in accordance with the sunnah, and then we will have beautiful lives. And only when our actions be accepted, that the person who brought the Nabi, the Prophet, if we don't believe him, if we don't follow him, then how will our deeds in our life be accepted? How? Come on. We need to think. First, we have to accept that there's a gap in our lives with our hearts. We have to totally accept without any deal, without any bargaining, without any bargaining with the desires. We have to bargain with our desires. Nobody around us tells us not to practice this. They want that we should be good. That just whatever your deen says, become like that, people say. They say, become like good Muslims and you will have respect all over the world. They say, we want to see you. That your Quran says, do this and you don't do this. We can't see this Islam. We've heard from our ears what Muslims are, but we don't see this in you. Yes, I used to study in university and I used to speak and talk and discuss with my friends. We used to study in college and university. In this qawm, we used to sit with people who weren't believers, Muslim. We used to eat and drink and mingle with them and have discussions. And it was, you know, have good times. And they said, everything's fine. But your Quran tells you the way to live. And your Quran has big high principles. Like I said to you, one principle, our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he threw, you know, one principle towards them, and they were full in love with him, crazy in love with him. The love came into their hearts. And those same people today, there's a wall between them and us, because we are jahil, we don't know anything, we don't know how to practice and demonstrate and show and become role models. But look at the Sahaba Ikram, they became azeem people of their generation, and we, despite we know everything. We know everything. Allah has given us masajid, Quran, children, prosperity, but we don't have the genuine article. My brothers, let's promise to ourselves that our life, we have wasted too much. We have no qadr, and no foot of ours should step towards anything in our life unless and until we follow the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is what life is. That is what success is. And there's no loss in following the sunnah. If you see loss in the sunnah, I swear by Allah, there's no loss in the sunnah. Why? Because it's a test from Allah. If we are doubting or wilting or shaking, Allah Ta'ala, has he not said to us that I will test you? I'll give you trials. I will test you through food, through your animals, through your children, through your assets, through your wealth. It's not easy to get Allah's love, is it? A few jolts and shaking and falling down during our lives and having problems and issues. Allah Ta'ala says, I want to see how much do you tread the water. How far down can you dive into the water? Someone I will test with ill health, with disease, or somebody will have mental issues, or somebody will have problems in his daily life, in his business, in his transactions, etc. These are all tests from Allah. Tests from Allah. So don't sit down and think, oh, I'm following the sunnah and I've got problems now, I've got issues and worries. This has no link with the sunnah. Don't think, don't go off track with the wrong root cause reason. Allah Ta'ala says that everything that's coming our way, we should bow our heads and accept alhamdulillah that Allah Ta'ala has given to this. We accept illness, don't we? We do sabr. We're patient. Whatever is coming to us and giving us a loss physically in the world, say, Allah, this is your decision. We accept it. This is your decision and your what you wanted to be in our destiny. This is your hukam. This is your order. And you have ordered. فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ has told us, know nothing in your life. Just imitate and obey my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I will start to love you. So if Allah starts to love his creation for this reason, not that Allah says, I will accept you or send you in paradise. Allah is not saying this. Or I'll accept you or your worship, your deeds. This is lower level. No, we want high level. Allah has said, hey, I will make you my beloved. And imagine if we are beloved of Allah, will Allah be worried about our salah, hajj, zakat and prayer? No, the angels will fail. When somebody becomes the beloved of Allah, the angels don't need to present the deeds. He will be entered into paradise without any accounting. VIP. Very important person. Have you seen? You've bought a ticket, say you want to go and watch a football match, you bought a ticket, £100, £50, and people join the queues to go into the ground to see the match, a cricket match, a football match, or sports. You will have gone sometimes, probably. So when you go, you see. And then there's one queue called the VIP turnstile. Nobody looks at their ticket. Nobody looks at their voucher. They are VIP. Very important persons. Who are these people? He's a minister, or he's got this ticket, or he knows this person, this personality, this, etc. And easily they go in and sit with ease, and there are queues outside. So on the Day of Judgment, will there be queues and hustle and bustle and sweating? There'll be a VIP gate. And who will be the people going through the VIP gate? The VIP people will be those who obey the sunnah. So do you want to be VIP? Think today. Work a bit here. Here, when you go in the line, and I want to be VIP. We were VIP a few times. We used to go to the matches or to events, and we joined the queue in the line, the normal line and the VIP line. It's the difference between the heavens and the earth. For example, you go checking in for a flight. When you're going to check in the airport, you have to join the normal queue and you have to check in the luggage. Then there are VIP people. Very quickly you check in and your luggage goes in quickly and you're enjoying yourself and there's no tiredness. And the people who are VIPs have the enjoyment, luxury. So here, if you are VIP, then imagine the enjoyment in the hereafter. So should we follow the sunnah or not? There's only one action we have to do. Everything we do in our life, do it in accordance with the sunnah and obey and follow the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whose benefit is it? Ours. In every action, Rasulullah sallam, is this the hukam? Is this his way? Did he do it like this? Yes. But don't run after thawab. No. If I do this, I'll get thawab. If I don't, is this farah? This is wajib, mustahab. Forget this. Just do one criteria. Did Rasulullah say something? Ati Allah wa ati Rasul. And ati Rasul, has there come any condition? Fard, wajib, mustahab. This no. Allah says in the Quran, ati Allah wa ati Rasul, hand in hand, interconnected. Wherever there's my obedience, there's obedience of Rasulullah. Where Allah Ta'ala says that the obedience to the Nabi is my obedience. What he gives, take, and what he tells you to leave, leave it. So if this hadith is coming to us, and we have to do this action. Action X, Y, Z. Hadith comes to us. End of story. We have to do it. Oh no, if I do this, this will happen in the world. What will happen? This will loss of... You are willing to take the loss of the world, but you want to take it in trading in for the loss of the akhirah. May Allah give me the tawfiq and you the tawfiq. We've gone over 5 minutes. Let's do dhikr of Allah.